So you're saying, all right, so now your candidates for best albums of all time. Let's compile the top. Let's compile the Nick Evangelista top five. Don't let any outside influences here. Killers, Hot Fuzz.
That's definitely one.
There's going to be a major skew towards, like, 21st century alternative bands.
Don't get me wrong. I have a style that I like.
Sure. So you got the Killers, Hot Fuzz.
No. I also want to, since now we're recording, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to go over real quick my categorization, how I'm deciding this, basically.
Okay.
So I'm looking at an album where every fucking song on that album is just great. All right? Not by some standard measurement. I'm just looking at people who look at that album are going to go, holy shit, every song is good. If you don't like the band, you're not going to like any of them, obviously. But if you like this band, you're going to say, this album is fucking gold. Everything is good.
Okay. All right, so hit me then.
Killers, Hot Fuzz. I'm going to put that at number one.
Okay, I haven't listened to all the songs on that album, so I couldn't tell you.
I can listen to that album.
Well, you listened to a majority of them, no?
Yeah, probably.
Here's what I will say about that one is the ones you haven't listened to are just more of the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That entire album sounds like one song.
Mm-hmm.
One really long Killers song.
Can I submit Coldplay, A Rush of Blood to the Head? Rush of Blood to the Head has The Scientist, Clocks.
Okay.
Rush of Blood to the Head. You probably haven't heard a lot of these, though.
Clocks might actually be the only Coldplay song I like.
Yellow? You don't like Yellow?
Well, no. Yellow is on Parachutes.
I'm just saying.
You got Don't Panic. Well, right. No, I'm not submitting any Coldplay.
No, Clocks is probably the only Coldplay song I enjoy.
You don't like Viva La Vida?
No, not really.
Coldplay has good songs, but I don't think they have an album. You know what I mean?
I love Coldplay.
Oh, great. I love Coldplay. I don't think they have an album.
I hate them now. Really? Like, now I've completely turned on Coldplay. Like, their Super Bowl show, it's like, yo, fucking quit jumping around like a little pansy.
That was pretty bad, yeah.
Go home, make up with Gwyneth, and have some babies and go retire somewhere. Gwyneth. None of this fucking enough with this hymn of the weekend bullshit. Para, fuck you. No. Sorry, I hate white people. I hate them so much.
I might actually have trouble because I have to go through albums now. I didn't expect this top five list.
No, give me a top five. Give me
right. Dookie. Is what I'm going to put for number two.
Dookie.
Dookie, every song is just good, right? And you guys can chime in if you have any albums.
Zach, what's the best Beatles album?
Ooh, that's a good. The Greatest Hits.
Besides that.
And also Queen Greatest Hits. I'm going to throw that in there, too.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
What's the best one? I'll give you some candidates. You ready? You got, and I'm going to narrow it down for you. I'll give you Revolver. I'll give you Abbey Road. I'll give you Sgt. Pepper, and I'll give you White Album. And that's all you're getting.
That's not all I'm getting.
That's all you're getting.
That's not all I'm
getting. No, those are the top four.
No, I like the Help album. I really enjoy the Help album.
Right, maybe Help goes there. All right, let's see what's on Help.
Help.
All right, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, besides Help.
Help.
Not just anybody.
Again, not a lot of big mainstream hits here. Oh, only Yesterday. Okay. Yesterday's the greatest song ever written. So that helps. It helps that you have the greatest song ever written on here.
But, you know, before you even gave me the options, I was thinking Abbey Road.
Abbey Road starts off strong and then really – so here's how Abbey Road starts. You go Come Together, Something, Maxwell Silver Hammer, Oh Darling. And then you're really by the time you're done, you're to Here Comes the Sun, which in my opinion is the most overrated Beatles song of all time.
I love Here Comes the Sun.
And then, yeah, then you got nothing. Oh, she came in through the bathroom windows on there. Hmm. I go White Album. Just because White Album is the most crazy bananas. Fucking White Album blows. It's got my favorite Beatles song of all time. While My Guitar Gently Weeps is on White Album. It's my favorite Beatles song.
No, you know, I'm going to go Abbey Road.
Interesting.
Obviously, hold on. One is the greatest Beatles album. But let's put that out.
Realize this is a very, very strange way to categorize. Like, we're not going by artist. We're not going by song.
No, just the album.
Just the album.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Which is a totally, like, it throws everything out. Because you can pick great bands and great songs and be like, yeah, but it's still not. Like,
But it's also funny because, like, I'm sure you guys have an idea of what you guys want as your greatest albums. But my idea includes big band, heavy rock, pop.
I discovered something like, about Zach. Zach, tell the listener your top five bands of all time. It is such an eclectic fucking mix. It's like it blew my mind.
No, it was Black Sabbath, Ozzy on there.
Yes.
I knew it.
No, they're not in your top three.
Yeah. You said top five.
Oh, I said top three. But you okay.
My top three? Okay.
The top three is the fun one.
My top three, yeah.
Once you get to Black Sabbath, you ruined it for me. No, I want to just... No, top five bullshit.
Zach and I, as children, bonded on Ozzy Osbourne and Chris Angel.
My yeah. God.
Fucking you gothic suicidal
emos. I still have season one of mine for you on DVD in my room.
Jesus.
Fucking as you're... No, so my top three favorite bands, and they switch constantly, but include The Beatles, Sublime, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
They're a big band group. You heard of them?
No, but he just made a great point. Sublime. That's a Love great Sublime. Fucking album. That album
the
is...
The self-titled one?
It's self-titled? Gold.
I prefer 40 Ounces to Freedom.
Let me see.
I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering the right... Because I only have one Sublime album. And it's a great fucking album.
The self-titled one has...
Is that the one with all
it
the photos?
It has Santeria. It's
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
the
yeah.
One with the tattoo in the back. I might be switching them up too, but...
Because
I do like the 40 Ounces of Freedom album.
And I know nothing about Sublime, so I don't know half these songs.
Let me look at it.
That's a long one, though.
Let me look at it.
There's 33 songs in the deluxe edition.
Oh my god, that's the one I have. I have the deluxe edition.
Yeah, I know Doin' Time, Wrong Way, What I Got.
Oh, Wrong Way. Oh, they're all on that list?
Yep.
Okay.
April 29th, 1992 is a good song, but I don't think it's like well known. But Santeria, obviously, Caress Me Down, Jailhouse, Ballad of Johnny Butt.
Which one has Date Rape?
Let me see.
I think 40 Ounces to Freedom has
Doin' Time. Did I say that one yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming Date Rape's on... Yeah,
it's on 40.
It's on the one. Yeah. No, but that's a great album, too.
And here's why I'm going to say 40 Ounces to Freedom is my favorite, though. Is because I actually have 40 Ounces to Freedom on my phone, and I don't have the self-titled.
Why? Don't you have the other one?
I just never downloaded it.
Now, is there a Nirvana album on here that we're...
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a Nirvana album, right?
Yeah, fucking...
It's got to have a great
album. The one with the baby's dick on it.
Yeah.
Fucking... Why am I playing another name? Never mind.
Smells Like Teen Spirit? Or no?
Never
mind.
No,
that's on there. Song, yeah.
Songs in there. Oh, yeah. No, that's top 10.
That's got to be on there, right? Yeah.
Of course it is. Problem with Nirvana is they changed music, obviously, and they're no doubt one of the five most important musical artists in American history, but not a lot of great individual songs.
No.
Like, not a lot of songs you can just, like, jam to.
All their songs are okay.
Right.
Like,
except Smells Like Teen Spirit.
What about it?
That's no, that's
like, you like it?
No.
Or?
It's a classic, Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's the only one.
I get sick of that one.
But, like... But
my actual personal favorite Nirvana song is Lithium.
Lithium's great.
Love Lithium.
But you got... I mean, you have Come As You Are, Heart-Shaped Box, About a Girl. All, like, really...
Like Heart-Shaped Box.
It's all just, like, it's so dreary and edgy and raw. It's like... I
refuse to buy anything Nirvana or support Nirvana because it all goes to Courtney Love, and I hate that bitch.
I don't like that.
Also, by the way, though, keep in mind, yes, they're dreary, edgy, and raw and all that, but you know what? At least they're not doing it just to do it. Like, you know how some bands go for that style because they want to go for that style?
Well, they
like,
want to be Nirvana.
No, yeah. That was Kurt Cobain's life. Like,
sure.
That was him.
Have you seen...
Soaked in Bleach?
I wasn't going to say Soaked in Bleach.
Have you seen Soaked in Bleach?
I have seen Soaked in Bleach.
What's that?
That thing is trippy.
Oh, it's great.
Is
that a documentary about...
It's a documentary about Kurt Cobain's murder. Yes. And I say murder because he didn't commit suicide.
Right, because apparently Courtney Love was behind his murder.
Oh, no, I firmly believe that.
Okay. Well, it's a pretty funny piece of fiction. But
I wonder what Nico's opinion on that is.
That was really entertaining. As a mockumentary, it was really good. What's the one that they did for HBO, the Kurt Cobain montage of heck? Montage of Hell. No, Montage of Heck. It's all like...
Is this the actual title?
Yes. They found this fucking box in Kurt Cobain's attic, and it had all these personal pictures and notes and shit, and it was all like this suicidal, like really like fucked up. And it's essentially just 2 hours of you're in Kurt Cobain's head. And just an acid trip. And it's got like personal footage. Like Courtney Love shows her boobs a lot in it. It's like... It's all like the inside Kurt Cobain's mind. It's crazy. And it just... It's not like an entertaining, enjoyable 2 hours. It's not like when you're done with it, yeah, that was a really fun documentary. You're glad to be out of there by the end of the 2 hours. But it, like, gives you a sense of what it's like to be in that dude's head.
What's it called? Montage of
Heck? Montage of Heck, I think is what it's called. It's the Kurt Cobain HBO, they did it last year. But, yeah. No, that's the thing. Is
Montage
that everybody...
of Heck is the first thing.
There you go.
Like, I'm typing it. Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 98.
Yeah. I mean, it's effective.
Yeah.
For what it's trying to accomplish, it's effective. Do you want a quick Michael Jackson hot take?
Ooh. Uh-oh. We should.
Thriller, not the best album. Thriller, not Michael Jackson's best album.
What's Michael Jackson's best album, then?
Bad.
Bad.
Here's what Bad's got, right?
You're right.
Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel, Liberian Girl, Man in the Mirror, I Just Can't Stop Loving You, Dirty Diana, Smooth Criminal. All on Bad. Okay? You put that up against Thriller. Only 9 songs on Thriller. Actually, well.
I was trying to find a Queen album.
Thriller, Beat It, Billie Jean.
All right. Now I'm looking at this. Wait a minute. I think pound for pound, there are less. Okay. Wanna Be Starting Something is great.
It's really tough, right?
Baby Be Mine. The Girl Is Mine with Paul McCartney is a jam. I love that song.
I'm telling you, it's tough to rate by album.
Beat It.
It throws everything out the window.
Human Nature is, sublime.
Do you want to take back what you said then?
I guess Thriller. No, it's Thriller, I guess, you know?
No, Thriller is...
I don't actually like Thriller as a song.
I think it's Thriller, overrated. But the Thriller album is great.
I didn't realize all the songs were on there.
Why? Oh, great. PYT's on there. All right, Thriller's better. Never mind. However, Off the Wall is underrated.
Off the Wall is underrated.
Off the Wall has Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, which I love. Working Day and Night. Off the Wall. She's Out of My Life. It's good. It's good. Interesting.
This should become a blog post.
Okay. Sure. Who wants to write it?
Zach.
You all have access now.
I trust you.
I don't.
Best albums of all time.
Why don't we all write it?
Zach put up a thing, by the way. Did you see that?
I did put up a thing.
Did you?
I did put up
a thing.
Oh, why don't we each do a top 5 on one blog post?
I plan putting another one up tomorrow.
Okay. We'll work on it.
Why don't we each do a top 5? And actually, rather than as one blog post, let's each do a top 5 and link it over to the other two.
Okay.
You're going to have to tell me how to do that.
Just make yours first.
Okay. We'll figure it out. You know,
top 5 albums?
Yep, top 5 Shit. Albums.
Okay. Do you know what we should do first, though?
And you can do your own personal top 5. Don't, because we have different styles.
Do you know what we should do first?
What should we do first?
We should play the intro.
Is that going to make the cut?
Oh, yeah. It's all in there.
Oh, good. We're just going to leave it?
Yeah, no. That's like the new thing with the show now is that we include 10 minutes of banter before we actually start.
You know what, though? I appreciate that. It's our thing.
Yeah.
We got a thing going. I don't know what it is.
We got a gimmick.
We're going places. Not anywhere good, but places.
This kid's going places. Not heaven, but places.
We're going somewhere. Welcome to Why Is This a Thing on NicoEmpire.com. Zach is blogging.
I'm going
to
be chewing throughout most of this.
Oh, stop with the salty rods in your mouth.
I'm starving. I'm going to McDonald's after.
Zach, can you chew closer to the mic, please? I'm sorry.
Gross.
I'm not.
Nico Empire going through some major facelifts. I still haven't decided on a theme yet. I don't know if you've noticed. You haven't been poking around clearly, but I changed the theme again. But Zach's been blogging on there.
I've been a little busy blogging, working.
Posted one either way.
Posted one blog. Nick is doing shit, right?
Yeah. I've been busy, man. But
yeah.
I gotta pick a day, like one day a week where I can just sit.
Yes.
And look at it.
Work on this stuff. Why Is This a Things are coming out. Nico show's coming out. It's a great time. Guys, we are here to talk about a movie that we like, but not a movie that we like. A TV show ripoff of a movie that we like. And the TV show's pretty bad. And the TV show's called Ferris Bueller. Because, Nick, what is this week?
Coming up, I believe, is it this week or this weekend, I believe, is the 30th anniversary celebration of Ferris Bueller's Day Off in Chicago. It's an extraordinary event. I wish I could attend.
Is it a part of the parade that they crashed in the movie?
See, I don't know if it's a part of that parade or if they're having a parade. I know there will be a parade.
Mm. Well, what was the parade in the movie?
I feel like it was St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it?
No. I think it was just a parade.
It was just a random parade. Because here's the thing. Ferris
Bueller... Yeah, I don't think they ever actually said what the parade was. We just know that, oh, he got on a float.
I guess it could be. I mean, it's towards the end of the school year, so that could be March.
Ferris Bueller actually came out in June of 1986. So it's the 30th anniversary, but next month is the actual anniversary.
Right.
They're when celebrating it this out. Week. They're yeah, doing a big
think,
reunion thing.
I think it has to do with the parade.
Ferris Bueller parade. Let's see.
Glad we did this research ahead of time.
All right.
like we always do.
Yes. So the crash, the Von Steuben Day Parade.
Ah, okay.
Von Steuben.
Von Steuben.
How did we not realize?
Who is Von Steuben?
I mean, German name, German float, you know.
Yeah. There was a German float?
Yeah. There was Beale Winches.
Okay. Oh.
Bar Maidens. What do they like to be called?
Okay, hold on. Who's Von Steuben?
Excellent question.
The Von Steuben Day Parade.
Oh no, it's Frederick Wilhelm August Heinrich Ferdinand Steuben.
Also, of course,
referred to as the Baron Von Steuben.
Here's the problem, though. Von Steuben Day.
He died in 1794 in Utica, New York.
So why do they celebrate Von Steuben in Chicago?
Von Steuben Day is on September 17th. So I don't know where all of this is landing up.
Hold on.
By the way, fun fact, he's Prussian born.
Well, guys, why does Von Steuben have a parade?
Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. The Chicago... So the Chicago version of the parade was incorporated into the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, even though the movie's plot indicates that Ferris is taking advantage of his ninth sick day of the school semester. Other movie details indicate the day takes place near the end of the school year, not in September, and not on a Saturday, when Von Steuben Day normally is.
Not to mention, I looked up the Steuben Parade, New York, New York.
So that's a problem, too. That's a very obscure holiday to pick for the...
You know what has less plot holes, though?
No, I think they just filmed it in September, and there happened to be a parade going on.
Hold on.
I don't think they meant to, like, have it be the Von Steuben Day Parade. It just happened to be at that time when they were filming that part of the movie.
City of Chicago. Yes, September 10th. They do hold a Von Steuben Day Parade, though.
Oh, good.
Guys,
yes, in Chicago.
Guys, seriously, though, who is Von Steuben?
He was a Prussian born.
Fuck you, Mick.
That's all I read of the wiki. All
right, Von, you want to take a guess on who Von Steuben is?
I'm going to guess...
Sausage importer.
Is he an importer exporter?
He's a latex salesman.
Contortionist and puppeteer.
At the same time?
Usually.
Okay.
Okay, he was...
Does he puppeteer himself when he's being contorted?
Yes. He was a Prussian-born...
I told you.
American military officer. He served as Inspector General and Major General of the Continental Army.
I thought you were about to say Inspector Gadget, and I got really excited.
So hold on, what you're saying is not sausage importer.
No, he is not.
Okay.
We don't know that yet.
During the American Revolution.
We don't know that yet. He could be.
Is sausage, let me just ask you
delicious?
A question.
Yes, it is.
Are Germans as obsessed with sausage as we think that they are?
I don't think so.
In the way that, like, we think all Germans are Nazis? Like, do they all enjoy sausages? Are they all alcoholic sausage eaters?
Are you telling me that Germans aren't alcoholic sausage eating, pretzel eating, beer loving Nazis? Like
that was rosy... a really great list until you added the Nazi.
That have rosy cheeks and like wear overalls.
And they are like, nine!
Well, no, I do think sausage is like a huge part of their diet. A huge part of their diet. That sounds like all they eat sausage.
They don't all live in a cuckoo clock and fucking hit each other over the head with a wooden hammer.
What?
It's not all Germans?
What are you referring to?
Wait, don't they make cuckoo clocks in Germany?
I mean, I guess.
No, I
was associated cuckoo clocks with, like, Holland.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm getting confused by Central European...
Getting your Baltic region.
I'm just saying, I don't think German when I think cuckoo clock.
Fair enough.
I just think of Das Boot, to be honest.
Das Boot. Das Boot.
Have you seen the movie Das Boot?
I've seen Beer Fest.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean...
Found it. No, the movie Das Boot's not good. It's like 3.5 hours.
Oh.
And they're on a submarine for 3.5 hours. But it's in German.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's in German. I didn't know that going into it.
Oh, you watched Das Boot?
I attempted to.
I would assume that Zach watched it. Did you assume he didn't watch it? Because I immediately assumed he did.
All right, wait a minute. Oh, this is the wrong Das Boot. Hold on. I want the good Das Boot.
There's a good... You just said it was bad.
Well, yeah, of course.
But... Well, it's not bad. It's just really drawn out, and it's long.
Oh, they made a miniseries out of it.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's 5 hours!
Yeah.
Oh, no, man! No,
it's bad.
Oh, no. Okay, maybe that we should do that for... Why is this...
Das Boot? No.
Now, I can't watch 5 hours. Is that an all-night marathon?
Oh, that's a good kill-me-a-thon. You know, that time of the year is coming up if we're going to do an annual kill-me-a-thon. You're aware of that. We did last year's in June.
Did we really?
Mm. I guess we're doing it. We got to plan another kill me.
It's been a long time.
Let me look. I think we do have another one planned.
Oh, we do?
I feel like we do.
Let me look at the exact day for that. We did it. By the way, if you go on iTunes, you can now see all our shows, guys. It's pretty cool. We weren't able to do that before. June 25th. So we got a little over a month to plan a new kill me-a-thon. 2016 edition.
That's going to have to be a Saturday night.
We have a lot on this list.
I am not looking forward. We do have a lot on this list, but this was one of the things on the list, so I'm excited to get to it.
So we don't specifically have another Kill-Me-A-Thon planned, but we have a great friend who was able to very quickly recommend.
But Nico and I have already agreed upon not doing another one with terrible movies.
Disturbing.
No, like disturbing movies, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to do, like, Adam Sandler comedies.
Solely Adam Sandler?
Sure.
Yes.
I would rather suffer...
New Adam Sandler comedies.
Sure. I would rather suffer in ways other than, you know, babies are getting raped and children are shitting into each other's mouths.
Are you sure?
Which is one of the movies that Adam recommended for us, by the way.
Are you sure? Are you sure this is not how you want to do it? Because there's a lot more movie that we could add to the Kill Me-a-thon. And, you know, it was a pretty good show.
Adam's got a list, for sure. I will say this. If Adam joins us, maybe.
No, that was my next.
Oh, boy. Okay, maybe.
Well, I think we need to do it. I can't do another one.
I believe in you.
We'll talk it over. Maybe if we did it during the day. Maybe if we weren't sleep deprived and we only watched Disturbingness. I think
that was an added element.
Well, of course it was an added element. No, of course it's entertaining for the listener. I'm not concerned with the listener. All 52 of them. I'm not concerned with them. I'm concerned about my own psyche. And I know I was fucked up for like 3 weeks after Kill Me a Thon. I could not get fucking Willem Dafoe's bloody dick out of my head.
I was
going
to say, didn't you like cringe when you watched John Wick or something
like that? I did. I fucking watched John Wick like a month later and I saw Willem Dafoe's face and I started to cringe. I couldn't I started to like clam up. I had like this PTSD like reaction to Willem Dafoe afterwards.
Have you seen him since?
Yes, I've gotten a little better, but I still just, I always
Spider-Man 1, just like,
Yeah, I always remember the bloody penis.
Oh, I should download Boondock Saints.
There was a firefight.
Yeah. Fuck Boondock Saints.
Hey, I love the Boondock Saints. No.
First one was great.
All right. Moving on.
Second one wasn't terrible.
I mean, if you like shitty movies.
First one was great.
First one was great. Great.
Is it not?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
You're wrong,
the great Norman Reedus?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
I think I need to revisit Boondock. Actually, no, I don't need to revisit
Boondock. No, you need to revisit. Boondock Saints is a great movie.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Really?
Nick, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, fine. I think actually the...
I used to have like the prayer memorized. Now I couldn't even say one line from it.
I watched Boondock Saints 2 before the original Boondock Saints.
Well, that's
Saints.
Your fault.
So I think that kind of ruined
it your fault.
A little bit. That sort of tainted my viewing experience. Anyway, let's talk Ferris Bueller. So in honor of the Ferris Bueller 30-year celebration... We decided not to watch Ferris Bueller and instead...
Because that would make sense.
Of course. The first two episodes of the failed ABC? NBC?
Something C.
What network?
I don't know if it made it to TV.
They did 13 episodes. Of course they made it to TV. Let's see. The TV show Ferris Bueller based on the movie starring a bunch of people you've never heard of.
And Jennifer Aniston.
And Jennifer Aniston. Who wants to talk about it?
Nick? You want to take this? You gave the show to us.
Now,
thank you, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
I will be watching the rest of the show.
Will you actually?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes,
NBC.
I will.
NBC.
It was NBC?
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
I guess we could start there.
I will be watching the rest of it, though.
Have any of you... I'm going to ask a question for the people at home.
Are you going to wait for the response,
yeah, I am. Have any of you heard the theory... Or first off, are any of you obsessed with Ferris Bueller in the way that we are?
Yes.
And have any of you heard the theory that Ferris Bueller is actually a sociopath?
Is that a theory?
It's a real theory.
Yeah. Okay, explain to me the theory, because I've never heard this.
You see, Ferris Bueller's a sociopath?
It's many of the...
End of theory.
Yeah. I feel like if you look at the dude, you're like, yeah, that dude could definitely be a sociopath. Like, he's breaking the third wall, he's driving cars out of buildings.
It's not just that, it's the lack of care for anybody else.
Yeah.
Lack of compassion for anyone. Mm. Many of his actions throughout the movie really strongly suggest that he is only concerned with himself, and that he really takes advantage of everyone around him all the time for his own personal gain. So many of his behaviors, along with the fact that he's obviously breaking the fourth wall, you know, kind of making jokes about his own life. You know what I mean? He's a lot of sociopathic tendencies. And this show definitely pushed the envelope on that, I think.
Okay, maybe. All right, here we have a couple questions about this first.
Well, it took the idea of what was fun about Ferris Bueller's Day Off and did it every 4 seconds.
And shoved it down our throats until we were fucking sick of it, until we choked ourselves to death.
And that was the first 5 minutes.
Abomination.
Exactly.
Every 5 minutes just slowly dying a slow death every fucking time.
You know, this podcast is a lot like life.
There's three people and they talk to each other. It's just like life, guys. Okay, here's my question first and foremost. Are the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off and the show simply titled Ferris Bueller, by the way, it came out in 1990, set in the same universe?
No.
About the same characters? No. Or are a part of the same timeline?
You know what the idea is?
Well, it can't physically be a part of the same timeline.
It physically can't. Mm-hmm. You know what the idea is?
What?
There's a kid somewhere named Ferris Bueller that they made a movie off of and then later made a TV show off of. Neither of these exist in a real universe.
Okay.
Because not just for the fact that they're fucking fiction, but the opening scene of this show... This kid, first off, how many fucking errors were there?
A lot of errors.
First thing he does, though, is he goes, Matthew Broderick playing me, pulls out a cardboard cutout of Matthew Broderick, and then a chainsaw, and then cuts his head off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I raised my hand, Nick looked at me, and then fully explained... exactly what I was thinking.
So what you're saying is that the character in the Ferris Bueller TV show is the real Ferris Bueller.
No, he's playing
He's not the real Ferris Bueller.
No. The movie is playing a character named Ferris Bueller, and then the TV show is also playing the character Ferris Bueller, but the real Ferris Bueller is yet to be seen.
Because my interpretation of it was like, oh, Matthew Broderick playing me, please. I'm going to show you the real Ferris Bueller. And that essentially some random like Hollywood type came up to him. Hey, see, kid, you got a lot of talent. We're going to make a movie about you.
So he's a Hollywood type from the 30s.
That's right. What a fascinating story you got. I'm going to put you in the pictures. Now, you're going to be huge.
The reason that can't work is because there are too many factual inaccuracies.
Yeah.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, though. And so, essentially, this Ferris Bueller, like, helped in the script process. And, like, you know, they were
slurred. But the issue is, with the movie, it took place in the future. How could this – if this was the real Ferris Bueller,
how would he know it's in the future?
Because – okay.
All right. So, Ferris Bueller's Day Off took place. Ferris Bueller was a senior. He was about to graduate.
I understand
Sloan
that.
Was a junior.
He was already dating Sloan at the time.
Right.
This movie – or the show, rather, starts out when he's a freshman and he's just meeting Sloan for the first time. So it takes place before the movie ever happened. And yet, he, at the beginning, says, oh, Matthew Broderick played me in a movie? So what this implies to me is that...
So this is based off the movie, but happens before.
This implies to me
that... But they're aware of the movie.
Right. So this implies to me that there is a Ferris Bueller that has already graduated from high school. They made a movie about his experience in high school, and then later made a movie about his experience in high school, or a show about his experience in high school, and then used that show to poke fun at the movie. Do you understand?
Neither of them – okay, that's fair, but then the information in both the movie and TV show should be the same. Like, the sister should be younger and not older.
Agreed.
Right? So, like, that's something – so I thought what it was is that, okay, the real Ferris Bueller in the TV show told a version of his story to the people making the movie. they got a lot of those details wrong. Now he's correcting those details, but then that doesn't explain how he met Sloane.
Exactly.
It's, now, I understand.
You just talked your way out of your own theory.
I know it's just lazy writing, and I understand it's just people that are not paying attention to the continuity of their TV show.
I'm convinced some guy just said, no, this time we'll get it right, and then he can still fucked it up. There's a real guy out there named Ferris Bueller.
You think so?
Who lives in Chicago.
And he time travels in apparently, the 80s.
The only thing is he graduated high school in like 82.
Mm. Not 86.
Well, yeah, and then not also 94, apparently.
Yeah, technically, I guess.
Interesting. So, couple things. I want to compare the TV show to the movie because you love the movie. You love the movie. I love the movie.
It's my favorite movie.
It's Nick's favorite movie.
My favorite movie.
And the TV show clearly doesn't understand what makes a movie great and doesn't understand what it's all about. And doesn't understand that that there's actually some like really deep themes in Ferris Bueller, and
also doesn't understand the entire movie is about fucking Cameron.
Yes, thank you. Yes. That's exactly where I was gonna go.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're all on the same page here.
Yes. Yeah,
oh, that's not wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, explain that, Zachary. I'm glad we agree. I've had this theory for years, it's and no one
theory.
Listens
that's
to
a
me.
Fact.
It is a fact. Absolutely, it's a fact.
If I try to describe it, I'm not going to do it any justice. You
yes,
know
you
that. No, you guys know I'm going to butcher this.
We'll piggyback off you.
Okay. So, from what I've heard, because obviously the first time I watched it, I didn't think that. And then I think I read, it was like this short article called like The Truth Behind Ferris Bueller or something like that. And then what I took it as is that Ferris Bueller is sort of the ideal person that Cameron kind of wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the whole movie is about Cameron trying to be that person, and in the end, he sort of becomes that person.
Right. The whole emotional arc of the story is on Cameron. It's all about Cameron. Ferris Bueller does not change from the beginning to the end. Cameron actually...
He's just a static goofball.
Right.
Right.
And he's our narrator, and I guess, like, he's sort of our point of view.
I mean, that's like saying...
What I think it does is it takes the idea of a normal story, of a normal whatever, but then puts it sort of like... This is going to be a leap, but stay with me. Sort of like the way Great Gatsby is about...
I was going to say the Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Well.
It's the same thing with, you know, Jay Gatsby grows, matures, learns, does all these things, but it's being told through us from not him.
Yeah. Right.
And
right,
I think the movie is...
I was going to use the Great Gatsby example, and then I stopped because I realized that, really, Ferris Bueller is more like Gatsby.
Right.
And Cameron is more like Nick, but the narrator... Right. Swapped.
There's a
situation.
Difference.
Yeah, but I, yeah,
but,
I was,
but
yeah.
You're right. No, but it is a fairly good example to use because, I mean, now is The Great Gatsby about Jake Gatsby or is it about Nick?
I think you could see it as it's about both. I mean,
because Nick,
I've always thought it was about Jay. But.
I think it is in a very obvious, like, because he's obviously like, but
it's called like The Great Gatsby.
But at the end of the story, yeah. Who really learns from it and changes, right? I mean, I think Nick is the one who changes. The only thing is, I think in the book they didn't do a very good job of really explaining that change.
Sure.
They could have extended the story on a little bit and it mm-hmm. would have explained it more. Mm-hmm. But the story kind of should have ended where it was.
You see it a lot more in books, for sure, is you see the impartial – actually, in a way, Shawshank Redemption is the same way. Shawshank Redemption, it's like Morgan Freeman doesn't really change from beginning to end. It's really Andy Dufresne's story. And it's really like, you know, you have Morgan Freeman watching this guy transform.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman is like the guardian, the wise – actually, I'm talking myself into this now. Yeah, Morgan Freeman is sort of like the sage, older, hardened criminal. And he's teaching Andy Dufresne the ropes, essentially. You know what I mean? And this is sort of a similar thing. Matthew Broderick is this wise-talking – charming, charismatic.
Everyone knows him.
Everybody loves Ferris Bueller, and Cameron is this sap who is really sick that day and, like, just doesn't want to leave his bed and, like, doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to take the world by storm. And Ferris teaches him to live. And in the TV show, Cameron's barely a part of it.
He's nothing.
Yeah, we saw him, like, twice.
Yeah. He's just, like, the de facto best friend.
And I think that's the major issue with the show, is that they definitely... missed that.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Yeah, they missed why the movie worked so well.
Right.
They turn it into just this stupid romance between him and Sloane. He's trying to win over Sloane, and it's a will they, won't they type thing. Who gives a
shit?
We
already know what happens.
Yeah.
We saw the fucking movie. Yeah. We saw the fucking movie.
But no, but their romance was never an important part of the movie either.
No.
They were just a happy couple.
No, they just happened to be – they could have been friends, and they could have been – well, they could have been together. It wouldn't have mattered.
Really, there's not a lot of, like, traditional high school conflict in the movie. There's not a lot of, like, the tropes of, oh, the girlfriend and boyfriend are breaking up. Oh, the bully is coming in and beating up the main character.
Yeah.
You know, none of that shit. It's just a it's much more, like, philosophical, and it's much more like a thinking man's movie than, say, I don't know, Breakfast Club or something, even though I like Breakfast Club.
No, I like Breakfast
Club. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
But Grease, for example.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Better example. It's like Ferris Bueller is a lot more sort of intellectual. And the show is anything but intellectual. It just plays up the conflict between him and Rooney.
I always want to say Mooney.
Yeah. And that sort of gets stale very quickly. And yeah, no. The TV show sucks. You liked it though, Zach. Why?
Well, I didn't like it. I want to finish it because I think it'd be an interesting thing to watch, but I don't love it. I mean, I want to watch it just because I want to watch it. It was the same reason why, after we decided not to do Danger 5, I went back and continued watching Danger 5.
You watched all of Danger 5?
Yeah. I don't remember any of it, but yeah, I went back and I watched it. Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, no, this is the worst TV show I've ever seen. I think it's the worst. I think it's worse than Pompidou.
I really genuinely believe.
Well, we came up with some great ideas for Pompidou though.
It's
I think you forget that we made Pompidou fun.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
Pompidou is really bad.
We're taking credit for Pompidou. In many ways, we did. Yeah. In many ways, we did.
We're the only official Pompidou podcast. In the world.
I think we're unofficial.
What do you mean we're unofficial?
No, we are unofficial.
I don't think the creators would sign up, sort of
sponsored by Matt Lucas.
I disagree.
Has Matt Lucas stumbled upon the Pompidou podcast?
Yes.
I mean, if you search for Pompidou, you'll find it. It's not hard to find. Like, there's not many search results that come up. Like,
that
when
come
you look
up for Pompidou.
Yeah, if you're looking up podcasts about Pompidou, we're the only one. There's like us and one other podcast that no one.
And they didn't finish.
No, they didn't even end.
I think they did 2 episodes.
He must have come across us at some point. He must have.
You gotta think about that. He probably did.
Absolutely. Someone did. Someone involved in the production.
Someone did, yeah.
And someone shared it with someone else on the staff, and like it was like
you're
a guilty pleasure.
You're saying Matt Lucas has listened to us?
Maybe.
Maybe not Matt Lucas. Of us. At least fucking the dude that played Hove. That dude listened to...
You think he was really that committed to the project?
I'm sure he was. Maybe Rebel Wilson listened too. It's a strong possibility that Rebel Wilson might have listened.
Yeah, why not?
Matt Lucas is making a movie about SNL.
About
what does that mean?
SNL? What is it? Yeah, what does that mean?
Netflix is doing a...
Is
doing an SNL movie about, like, the good old days of SNL.
What the fuck? Are they going to get the current people to play the old people?
No.
Oh.
So some of this casting is brilliant. Hey, I just saw the casting... Are you aware of the community feud between Chevy Chase and Joel McHale and how they hate each other?
No.
Because Chevy Chase is an asshole and he was an asshole in sketch.
Isn't Chevy Chase like banned from ever hosting SNL?
Oh, yeah. They all hate him. But Joel McHale is playing Chevy Chase in this movie.
Oh, is
and
he
I
really?
Kind of love
That's
that.
Funny.
Staten Island Summer, I think.
Oh,
no,
No,
it's not.
Oh, it's not?
I lied.
Because that sounded familiar.
Yeah. No, they're doing one, and Matt Lucas is playing somebody. I forget who it was.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So, but you know what's more interesting?
What?
Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah.
Actually wasn't, but we need to talk about it more.
All right, what else you got about it?
Oh, I don't know. I was expecting you guys to pick up the slack. I'm just saying we got to talk about it more.
All right, what?
Let's talk about some specifics.
Okay.
From the episodes. Each character had a shtick.
Sure.
You want to go there?
Sure. Yeah, we can follow that.
Let's go on a list.
Let's follow that path. That can't end anything but well.
Now, I think while we do this, let's also mention the movie and the character's shticks, if they had one in the movie. See if it relates.
Let's start with probably not the most. The most obvious would be Ferris's because he's always breaking the fourth wall. That's his shtick.
Yeah.
But I think... Aside from him, the most obvious shtick was Rooney's.
Yeah. Rooney's was just annoying as well.
Rooney was in the movie. Not in the movie, in this TV show, rather. We're going to do that constantly. In the TV show was a bumbling idiot who always confused his, what are they called, idioms? What are they called? Expressions?
Idioms.
Idioms?
Idioms, yeah.
He always combined two.
I was going to say analogies, actually, but idioms is a better word.
Ferris Bueller said it in the show. He likes to use his mixed metaphors.
Mixed metaphors.
There's a lot
yes.
of mixed metaphors.
The one that I think Nico laughed the hardest at was it's a cakewalk in a glass house.
Yes, cakewalk in a glass house is one. He also listed a number of he gave two options by saying one or B. That's just his thing. Which leads me to just this point that I want to make about the writers of this Ferris Bueller TV show. They must have been so fucking pleased with themselves in the writer's room. I do not want to meet these people ever, but they are just the fucking...
What if Jordan Moffat...
Boosh.
What if he was one of the writers?
Could be. They are just...
That's your professor, yeah. Yes? Okay.
They are just...
One of these days, I think I'm going to laugh at them.
They're the biggest fucking douchebags who are just, oh, we're so punny. Oh, we have so many clever little one-liners.
No, I think they were stoned.
They really did not understand the movie.
No.
They don't understand how to write. That's part of it. They don't understand how to construct a good joke.
Granted, though, we can say that all day, but they produced a TV show.
They had a TV show.
It went on 13
episodes.
I can't say we've ever done that.
Good point.
Until we get there.
Bernie won Oregon, by the way.
Oh, that's expected.
Yes. A couple lines in the Ferris Bueller TV show that I wanted to point out. My mom loves me like a rock.
Yeah. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Like, my question is...
A lot of sexual innuendos.
How is that sexual? What is a rock?
That's not.
Well, no. But the love me like a rock thing, is that like an expression they said in the 90s?
Well...
Well, no, because like, you guys know, I'm reading... old comic books, and in them they say things that A are just on okay.
Like
nowadays, like they're like Batman was going up against somebody who was wearing a mask, and he was taking off the mask, and it said as he removed his yellow skin because he was supposed to be a Chinese guy.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh no!
But perfectly acceptable back then.
Sure.
Now when back then?
Back then
the
was
90s.
That was, yeah. Well, no,
a
hold on.
Simpler
no,
time.
Hold on. The Batman thing was 1939-40.
Well, that's not too bad then.
Yeah,
that's funny racism. That's okay.
Yeah. different. But was that an expression that was said? I want to say no. I'm gonna say no.
Hey, look up "Loves Me Like a Rock."
Are you looking? Look it up.
What is the phrase "Loves Me Like a Rock"? Oh. Urban
it came up.
Uh-oh. What does it mean?
Paul Simon, Loves Me Like a Rock. That's a song.
Really? Interesting.
Paul Simon?
Yeah, no. I'm more of a fan of his later work.
That's all I'm seeing.
When he
is
did
Paul Simon.
When he did the Horace and Pete theme song. Urban Dictionary. Oh, so,
all I'm seeing is Paul Simon.
Loves Me Like
a Rock.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
I'm going to look up
I could see Ferris Bueller being a
Paul Simon fan.
Paul Simon fan, for sure.
Loves Me Like a Rock.
There aren't any definitions on Urban Dictionary.
What did you guys think about, hey, Dad, shouldn't you be wearing pants? Oh, I spilled my milk.
You think that was a sexual metaphor?
I just think he spilled milk.
I don't know.
I think so, too.
I don't know. It was right after he's talking about their mom, so.
Maybe. They really played up the whole the parents love Ferris and they hate fucking his sister.
To be fair, they played that up in the show too, or in the movie too.
Not as much though.
Yeah, no,
not
it was as... pretty obvious though. Okay.
Well, all right.
It was a little overdone in the movie.
Janine, right? Is that her name?
Jeannie.
There you go, Jeannie. They played that. I don't know about that. Maybe it was sexual. The one that you pointed out that you loved.
It was just weird.
Was when he told Cameron that you got me off of Ding Dongs and onto Ho-Ho's.
Yeah.
That's just a great line.
While he was referring to Sloane, by the way.
Yes.
So, by the way, Nick, nothing like Mia Strong.
She's
Mia
still Strong? Hot, though. I mean,
Mia Sarah, I think.
Sarah?
She's still hot. They're both hot.
Oh, no. They were both...
I don't know. To me,
Sloane was just gorgeous.
Some of the facial features I recognized were similar to me, but
coming from the guy who thinks Jake Gyllenhaal and Jared Leto look alike.
They do look alike.
No, they don't.
They kind of do.
Let's identical. Talk. No,
they don't.
Identical.
No, you're so wrong.
Can't tell them apart.
No, no, no. The Moxie guy. I'll give you.
<Let's>, all the three of them.
Let's get this straight. First of all, Sloan, much, much hotter in the movie. Oh not God, even yeah. close. Much hotter. It's not even a comparison. So already they've missed the boat on that for me. However, Jennifer Aniston, quite fetching in this. 1990 Jennifer Aniston, who knew? I mean, I guess everybody knew. But
I mean, yeah, it's not.
I mean, hotter than Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey had a good run in the 80s.
I liked her. She's pretty gorgeous.
Was she gorgeous?
You also, Nico, I would like to ask you something.
Yeah, I disagree with you on the Jennifer Aniston that we saw in this.
Yeah, no, definitely. But explain your seemingly strong attraction to the overalls.
I like the overall look. There's something about the overalls. It just blows me away every time.
Does it make you think of little boys? Is that what it is?
The female.
He didn't say no.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not talking about like the fucking corduroy, like corduroy. Yeah, none of that shit.
Corduroy, good book. Good
sure.
book.
Yeah, all right.
It's classic.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about the silky like sort of twin tower look that you have on your chest overall for women. And it shows, first of all, a lot of side
boob. Hold on, there's a 9/11 joke in there somewhere.
I'm just still trying to get over the fact that you use the word twin tower.
As an adjective.
Well, it's a parallel vertical line.
So it's like parallel.
Yeah, it's like the twin towers. It's just there. They're right next to each other.
Or, you know, columns.
And I want both of them to come down.
I was going to say, it's because you're thinking about them coming down.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
That's pretty
fucked
up.
There's the joke.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
There's the 9/11
Here's the thing
joke.
About the overall. So Jennifer Aniston is rocking it in the pilot episode of this show. A lot of side boob. Really gives you a sense of the cleavage.
I didn't see any of it.
Did you see side boob?
No.
Or cleavage?
No.
You ever seen Clarissa Explains It All?
No.
Melissa Joan Hart. It's quite fetching in her day, too. Wore a lot of overalls on that show. And,
Hold on. Am I thinking of the same Melissa Joan Hart? Was she Sabrina? Who played Sabrina?
Melissa Joan Hart was not Sabrina. No, Melissa Joan Hart.
That was a big disappointment.
I know. But who did Melissa Joan Hart play?
No, Melissa Joan Hart was Melissa and Joey. Clarissa Explains It All was her big one. I don't think she did anything else.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why did I know her before? That's not where I know her from. Who played Sabrina?
Hold on.
This is taking a turn.
I can
oh, Melissa Joan Hart was Sabrina.
Boom, bitch. I told you.
Oh. Teenage witch, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Salem, the cat. Love that cat.
Yeah. No, she wore overalls in her day. I like the overall. Just because it gives me... Listen, guys. Someone like me growing up... Now didn't see a lot of boobs. All right, like I like every bit of the boob I can get.
Now,
I will take.
Here's the funny thing. What are you doing?
It's a lollipop.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
We went to go see Purple Rain.
Yes.
Okay.
On the big screen.
On the big screen.
By the way, nothing like Graffiti Bridge and 1 trillion times better.
Really?
It is so much
anyway,
better.
So we went to go see Graffiti Bridge. Damn it. Purple Rain.
It's so
and
good.
There's this one scene where Prince, with a kid, tells whatever the hell her name is that she has to, like, go jumping the lake. So she gets undressed. I can hear Nico... whispering under his breath, boobs, 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 boobs. And she takes off her shirt. He goes, in the middle of the theater, goes,
out loud?
Yeah.
With everyone there?
There were like 3 other people in the theater. There was like 1 dude in front of us and a couple behind us, and that was it. Yeah, I was going like, boobs, 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 boobs! And both my hands went up. I was like celebrating. I did the same thing when I was watching Game of Thrones the other day.
Yeah, but this was different.
Were you
in a fucking movie theater?
No, I was in my friend's basement, but I was still chanting, come on, boobs, come on, boobs, come on, boobs, boobs! Any chance I can take, I will take it. Absolutely. I'm in favor of the overall look. Let's bring back the overall.
I still don't understand how that relates to boobs.
Yeah, it doesn't relate to boobs.
You get more cleavage, dude.
I didn't see a single inch of cleavage.
Oh, what are you talking about? Because the overalls, most of the time, just cover up the boob and leaves a lot of room in the middle.
She was wearing a shirt underneath, dumbass.
She literally was wearing a shirt.
No, she wasn't.
Hold on. Yes, she was.
Literally, actually was. Scientifically.
You saw
it. It was a yellow floral pattern shirt. I remember.
Hang on. I'm going to look for a screen grab.
I'm going to be an idiot.
Little do you know, Nico is yellow tan colorblind. Oh,
of course. Actually, no, I'm second guessing myself on that shirt. But she was wearing a shirt.
I thought she was wearing like a reddish, orangish, yellow.
Was it yellow?
I don't know, though.
I was remembering.
She was wearing yellow. A shirt, though. I can tell you that shit. Yeah.
She was 100%
wearing a shirt. If we were seeing Jennifer Aniston boobs, I think we would have noticed.
I would have said something.
I don't know what the fuck you were looking at.
All right, I'm going to look for the YouTube video, and then we'll
you get probably still
your history.
You probably still had Daenerys in your head.
Daenerys. Sorry. Here, wait. I swear to God, I saw a little bit. Maybe I just associate overalls with cleavage.
I think that's exactly what happened.
And then I just sort of filled in the blanks for myself there. Hold on. Let's see her.
Yeah, I don't think there was any of that.
It's, no.
What was another character's shtick? I want to talk about.
Oh, no, wait.
Okay, you got it?
She's wearing a shirt.
Kind of. It's low cut, though.
Let me see.
Hold on. It'll play through. You get a little taste. There was definitely a shirt, but you get a little bit of a taste. It's low and, like, the overall.
I think if you're really trying to see Jennifer Aniston, like, I think there's a way better look than the overall look.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, I mean, come on, Will the Miller strip
there's
scene.
There's a Google search. There's a Google search
Jennifer
function.
Jennifer Aniston's ever been naked, though.
There's a Google search function.
She doesn't have to be. She's Jennifer fucking Aniston.
There's a Google search function on your internet application. Mm.
There was the scene in Horrible Bosses where she's wearing basically only a doctor's coat.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was a good scene.
Fair enough. Is Jennifer Aniston the most beautiful 47-year-old in the world?
There's a category.
I don't know. That's a Google search.
I think she gets better with age. I honestly think she does.
She looks better now than she did on, like, Friends.
Oh, my God. She's still, like, I mean, that is a beautiful woman at age 47.
Yeah, she's
absolutely.
She's very, very pretty.
No, but she, yeah, what was she doing in this stupid show in 1990?
This is like her first show.
Well, mind you, she was also in Leprechaun.
What? I've never seen a Leprechaun movie.
Would you? Yes, you have.
Oh, there's our
camera. I have not.
Oh, no, you haven't. I kept trying to have us watch Leprechaun. Actually, no, and you wouldn't go for it.
We're doing a marathon one day, aren't we?
We are. That's going to be St. Paddy's Day next
year. Yeah, St. Paddy's Day. We're going to do all the Leprechauns. All
right, this is what she did. She did Mac and Me, a uncredited dancer in McDonald's.
was in McDonald's, or was there like a commercial?
The name of the movie is Mac and Me. The credit is Dancer in McDonald's. So there you go.
Okay.
She was in a show called Malloy, which is not about our governor.
It's not.
Seven episodes of that. She was in a show a TV movie called Camp Cucamonga. And then 13 episodes of the Ferris Bueller TV show. They really thought this thing was going to be a hit, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it is sort of sad that Jennifer Aniston was the only one that came out of this unscathed. Here's a question. Do they make good TV shows based on movies? I feel like that's a bad track record. You're playing with dicey, dicey territory.
Can I name another one?
Sure. Oh, I can name you a few.
Really?
I'll give you some good ones. Friday Night Lights is the best TV show based on a movie ever.
Oh, I thought the movie came after the show.
No, because the movie's not that good. I think that's the theory. Don't base TV shows on good movies. Base them on bad ones that you can sort of improve.
Okay, well, name other ones.
Actually, Fargo's a great TV show, but that's also a great movie. That doesn't count. They just rip off the movie, and it's fantastic still. So maybe that destroys my theory.
Okay, keep going.
But I'll, like,
name other ones.
There's been a few, like, bad ones lately. So you have Ferris Bueller. They just came out with a Rush Hour TV show that got canceled.
Oh, that got canceled already?
Yes. How about the Napoleon Dynamite cartoon?
Yes, bad. Very bad. Very bad.
It literally got pulled after two episodes.
I didn't know they had one.
Yes.
Yeah, it got pulled after two episodes.
Not good.
Off Fox.
You got...
Came out like last year, or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't know.
They did Minority Report this year, and it bombed. They did...
That was a good movie.
Hold on, let's see.
Counter-argument. How about movies based off of TV shows that are good?
Okay, like what?
Sex and the City 2?
Firefly.
Okay.
They had a movie.
That's not real, but that's just a continuation.
Yeah, that's... So good, though. That was Joss Whedon letting his fans get a conclusion. I don't think that counts.
Jossie. Man.
Love Joss. I do like Joss Whedon.
You still haven't watched Buffy.
I haven't watched Buffy.
You watch all of Buffy tonight.
But I feel like if I do that, then I'm going to have to watch Angel.
Yeah, you do. No, you will. Because they happen simultaneously. You'll actually find, there's online, you can get a list. It'll tell you which episodes to watch in which order.
That's way too much woke, and that's coming from me.
It's worth it.
All right, so here you go. You only have
to deal with that for two seasons.
They did an Ace Ventura Pet Detective cartoon. Oh, Jimmy Neutron is technically based on a movie.
That's pretty good. Again, I thought the show came after the movie.
No, it did.
I mean, came before the movie.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was actually good. That's a good
they
one.
They did Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is a new one, which is apparently pretty good, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I hear that's really good.
They did a Back to the Future animated series.
Really?
Yeah. Bates Motel, based on Psycho.
I hear that's really
I've never seen it.
Gotham? I don't know if that counts.
That doesn't count. I like Gotham.
Fuck you.
I haven't seen it.
They did a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cartoon.
Oh, I knew that.
Well, there was a stretch. They did that. They did Beetlejuice as an animated show. They did Back to the Future. Wow. Black Dynamite, Buffy.
Black Dynamite.
Oh, wait a minute. Buffy is based on a
Yes, actually, that's a good movie? Point. Yeah, there was a Buffy the Vampire movie first.
Really?
And it was really bad.
So hold on. It went movie, TV show, comic?
Yeah. Well, and they actually are...
Or TV show, comic, same time.
No. No, you were right. The movie happens, and then Joss Whedon hated the way it turned out. He wrote it, but didn't direct it. Hated the way it turned out, so he said, fuck it, I'm doing it myself, and made the show.
Interesting.
And then when the show finished, he realized he wanted to continue, but he didn't have anybody to do it, so he made a comic.
Any of the backing, yeah.
So he made a comic, and he continued it. So actually, they're all continuous. But I actually haven't seen the Buffy movie. They sum it up pretty quick in like the first two episodes.
From Dusk Till Dawn, the series?
Really? Based on the movie?
It's currently airing, I think. It just came out a couple years. No one knows about it. It's
about
like
vampires?
It's on Robert Rodriguez's like...
Dusk Till Dawn's a great movie, though.
That's strange.
Please don't use the word great.
I love it,
but don't use the word great.
Oh, it's great.
Don't use the word great.
Oh, no, it's great.
It's a horrible movie, it's but great. It's entertaining.
So we've decided that if the movie's bad...
Hannibal.
The show could be good.
Oh, yeah, Hannibal.
Hannibal's okay.
Hannibal's great.
I've only seen five episodes.
I haven't seen any, but I've heard
it's three seasons of... Yeah.
I started watching it with Michaela. Well, Michaela started watching it... No, I started watching it with Michaela. She chose to watch it.
It's so good.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Limitless.
She picked it, you watched it.
I was in the room.
Yeah.
They did a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels series.
Ooh. Did they really?
I guess so. Man, so many flops. Oh my, Men in Black, the series?
Now imagine making a TV show based on an album.
Ooh. I think it's called Purple Rain.
That's a movie.
Or any one that the Beatles made.
Yes.
I guess the musical that Green Day did, based on American Idiot, they did a whole musical.
Oh, they did the stage show. Yeah, this not the stage show.
No, they did a musical.
It was
on fucking Broadway.
Broadway, yeah. No, that's yeah. That's a
yeah. But you said movie off of.
Well, I said TV show. Then he said Purple Rain.
You did. Oh, so oh yeah, we just
so kinda, we kind of
yeah glossed
we,
over the TV show. Didn't
yeah,
we?
They did a Gone with the Wind TV show.
How?
I don't know.
I haven't seen Gone with the Wind.
It's really old.
I know.
Oh, here's a deep pull. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh,
that was
awful.
Not as bad as I was
expecting.
What
are you talking about?
No. It was interesting.
I haven't seen.
Listen, I watched almost all of Once Upon a Time.
Why?
By choice.
Isn't it still airing?
By myself.
Why?
Well, you hate it, don't you?
It was awful. But I watched. I don't have a high tolerance.
Yeah, it's still airing.
I have a high tolerance for bad TV shows. I'll watch them.
Are you a Wet Hot American Summer fan?
No.
Are you a Wet Hot American Summer
What's that?
Fan?
I know what it is, but no.
They did a Netflix series over it.
That's
but it was like a bunch of prequels, and it was 15 years after the fact, but they brought back the same actors.
Yeah.
So it's like a bunch of like 40-somethings playing teenagers in the TV show. So like Amy Poehler and Bradley Cooper are playing
Paul Rudd. I actually
Rudd.
Started to watch it. I couldn't finish it. It was
hot take.
What?
Hate Paul Rudd.
Oh, that's sizzling. I'm sure you're going to ruffle a lot of feathers
well,
with
no.
that one. You're going to offend a lot of people with
I like
that take.
Paul Rudd.
No, people like Paul Rudd. I don't get it at all.
He's all right.
No, I've never liked a single movie he has ever
I can't
made.
Imagine Anchorman?
He's like
the fifth best part of Anchorman.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, though.
But no, I'm saying...
He's like in the... He's not even in
no,
the top
I'm saying,
10
No,
best
I'm saying
like
I'm saying I love
Rudd,
you, man. I'm saying...
Let me explain this to you. Paul Rudd is like salt. You need a little bit of salt in your meal. You know, he's the flavor. He's not...
Is that a Ferris Bueller comparison?
No.
See life.
No, all I'm saying is... yeah, you know, you got all of those nice ingredients in there to make your nice, healthy, hearty meal. But, you know,
and you Paul Rudd. Sprinkle Paul Rudd on the top?
He's a little bit of salt.
I refute.
Nope, hate Paul Rudd.
I agree with you.
You salt hater.
Actually, thank you. I don't hate. I don't hate Paul Rudd.
Okay, I don't hate.
Here's
Paul
the thing.
Rudd.
How can you hate him? I can understand not liking him necessarily, but how can you hate him? What if he hasn't done anything bad?
Paul Rudd should not have a superhero franchise.
Yeah, okay?
A guy like Paul Rudd should not be in charge of a multi-part superhero franchise.
But are you blaming Paul Rudd? Or are you blaming the people who approached Paul Rudd?
No, blame Paul Rudd for his own success. Yeah, no, that guy should not be as successful.
I will totally blame Paul Rudd for everything he ever does.
If you were, Zach, if a man walked up to you and said, Zach, we want you to be Ant-Man.
I hate this argument.
No, because A, Ant-Man's a pussy.
Oh, put aside.
I hate Ant-Man.
Yeah, you wouldn't play Ant-Man. No, I
play
Ant-Man. I'd only play someone in a DC movie.
You are such a liar.
Oh, so would you play the Atom?
Yes.
You fucking asshole.
The Atom can travel through dimensions.
Isn't it?
Can Ant-Man do that?
I don't know.
The Atom can.
Isn't it Black Atom? Or is it different?
No. Black Atom.
No, that's our A-D-A-M, that's our black Atom, that's our A-D-A-M. Black friend named Atom.
Oh, of course. Obviously. Yeah. No, I am perfectly okay with hating on a person for his success. I am perfectly all right with that. Like, all of those people between him and fucking
no, you're not.
Adam
because if
Sandler
I name,
and...
No, you're not. Because if I name somebody that you like and I say that, you'll get pissy.
Give it an example.
Fuck Prince and his success.
How dare you.
He doesn't... See what I'm saying?
That's enough out of you. You cannot compare Paul Rudd to these great men, though.
But I'm just saying, though.
Here's my problem. I hate average Hollywood actors that get roles. Like, fucking Chris Pratt should not be in 10 blockbusters every year. Spread the love around it. But he's so... Like, Chris Evans is going to be in the biggest movie of the year. All right? He was just in it. It's going to make $500 billion. Dude is the most average white guy you've ever met. Like, I am pissed off when, like, average people have such success. And maybe... I don't know. Maybe I should be... As an average person myself, maybe I should be encouraged by their success. But like Paul Rudd,
you are not average.
Well,
you are a very different part of that bell curve.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, Chris Evans and Chris Pratt, not really average either.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Well, they're above average looking, but talent wise, and no, I'm just mean in the sphere.
I'm saying you're saying, oh, I'm the average man, which is
no,
false.
And then no.
But then you're saying, oh, but they're also the average man. No. You're
in the
very
sphere,
different
in the sphere of Hollywood. Not in life. I'm an average person in life.
So what do they have to do with...
No, Paul Rudd...
It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
No,
he's just trying to cover his own ass.
No, Paul Rudd is an average Hollywood actor. That dude should not be in two of the biggest blockbusters of the last 5 years.
Why not? Or any of his movies.
Or, yeah, no, I agree.
Like, since if he wasn't in Anchorman, the only thing I would lose from my life is being able to say 60% of the time it works all the time. That's it.
He was a great part of that movie. Like, that's a...
I don't like Paul Rudd.
I can never remember the guy, but the sports guy, I think, was less
Dave
funny.
Dave Koechner's great.
I think he's less funny in Anchorman.
See, Dave Koechner should have more success, but he's not as good-looking as Paul Rudd. That's the only problem.
I think that's also why I don't like Paul Rudd.
I don't like attractive dudes. I just don't like
him.
Is he attractive?
He's a good-looking dude, but everything about me... Everything tells me he shouldn't be a good-looking dude. I don't know why.
I don't know if I ever thought of him as an attractive man.
What?
Well, he's a good-looking dude.
What are you talking about? Paul Rudd?
I've never considered him like a...
Oh, come on, dude.
Like a hunk. You know what I mean?
Well, no. But he's a good-looking dude.
Is he, man?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look at that guy.
He's a good-looking dude.
Come on.
I guess, yeah.
Come
I guess.
Actually, no. I like one thing he's in, and that's when he's Phoebe's boyfriend in Friends.
Oh, jeez.
That's it.
Fucking... Paul Rudd, knocked up, he was awful in that. Actually, he's not... No, the problem is he's not awful. The problem is he keeps getting work. Stop getting work, Paul Rudd. However, I did like him in Civil War.
You know what, though? That just tells me that he's, like, good at networking and, like, going out and doing it, you know?
Or just very lucky.
I don't think that is real.
Put it this way.
Luck.
Yeah, no, that's made up.
We should not be criticizing Paul Rudd because we are clearly not a man of his caliber. A horrible pun from Ferris Bueller. In which...
That's not exactly where you were going.
In which Ferris's fake lawyer goes up to Principal. I guess he's Principal Rooney in this. He was the dean of students in Ferris Bueller, but I guess now he's the principal. Goes up to his office and essentially says, or he negotiates it down And Rooney describes the encounter as he held a gun to my head. And the secretary, in such a charming, clever, witty fashion, goes, you can't, or what did you say exactly about, it's hard to deal with a man of that caliber.
You never could have
yes.
kept up with a man of that caliber.
Yes, yeah. Bada-ching. Awful fucking writing. They're so happy.
I didn't catch that.
Yes.
You didn't catch that?
Neither of the two times that I've seen this, no.
Lucky you. Lucky.
You're probably laughing too hard at how terrible it is.
I would never laughed.
A couple more things. Tonsils. They apparently
they expand. Swell up.
They swell up. They
swell down.
They swell down. Yeah, apparently they do that.
bad writing.
Yeah, really awful. In episode 2, life is a cabaret. Or if life is a cabaret,
what the hell was that?
Yeah. When Sloan makes out with Ferris out of nowhere while on the back of
a different guy's motorcycle.
Les's motorcycle. We should mention episode 1 was just basically an introduction. He's meeting Sloan. He's cutting class, whatever. Episode 2, Ferris attempts to run for office. He can now no longer run for office because they made a rule preventing freshmen from running. So he then has to run a different candidate, become that person's campaign manager, put together a last-minute effort to prevent this teacher's pet, when I'm forgetting what the guy's name was, Gary, from becoming the student council president or student body president or whatever. So they run this like biker dude named Les.
Now, what did you think about at the end of that episode there? We're not.
We became super small out of nowhere.
Yes.
No, more when Gary suddenly started growing fucking facial hair from stress.
Oh, yeah.
Stress-induced 5 o'clock shadow.
Yes. Has a nervous breakdown. And Les just absolutely consummate professional. A real Marco Rubio, this guy. Just totally talks about how, you know, we're appealing.
The real shit.
Yeah.
The real shit.
Yeah, we're going to appeal to the average voter. We want justice for all students. He's a real man of the people. Wins over Sloan's heart. Ferris is a little disgruntled by this. However, they make out on the back of Les's motorcycle. And, I had an aunt named Shred. That's a good line. I enjoyed that line very much.
No, Shred's a great name. I have an aunt Shred.
Yeah.
Well, you just like that because of all the times you say, no, my dad's.
My father's gay.
My father's gay.
One more question about Ferris Bueller, then we got to get out of here. How does this dude hack into all the fucking systems?
He's magic.
Okay.
I've said this multiple times. Ferris Bueller, in the TV show, is magic.
I also just want to point out, this is before security, computer security.
It was also before Wi-Fi.
That's not my problem.
Yeah, he had great Wi-Fi signal.
Great
with that
Wi-Fi
laptop.
On the beach, just in his fucking limo.
I'm supposed to be a lawyer in this scenario, and I'm here to defend him, not argue. So I'm not going to bring up the Wi-Fi. I'm just going to talk about
just reasonable doubt,
the lack of security. Mm-hmm. That's why he was able to do it. Nobody's stopping him.
True. I don't understand how we got internet to change the attendance records.
He created Wi-Fi.
And then is also very easily able to hack into the police database and change the bail that his sister is set at.
From, like, what was it, 250?
Yeah.
250,000.
The real funny thing is we're assuming that all of, like, that the police station and that his school is already switched over to digital.
Yeah, that too.
And they're not.
But it doesn't explain how you connect to it from your house.
Well, I'm saying there's nothing to even connect to.
You have to, though. You know, the Ferris or the police database run out of Ferris Bueller's personal computer.
I'm not defending him anymore. you're misunderstanding.
Of course.
I'm just pointing out that none of it makes sense.
Mm. He's just a super spy. He really is a sociopath in those moments, though. I will say, changing his sister's bail is quite
dangerous.
Stealing her car.
She has the worst luck. Mm. Her bail is suddenly $250,000. Now, keep in mind, that's not, like, her money. That's his fucking parents' money.
Well, and then, do you remember his mom said, hey, Ferris, dinner's heating up in the microwave. We're going to the police station. And he screams, you better stop at the bank first.
Yeah, what an asshole. Seriously.
Jinx, yummy soda. He's a fucking asshole.
He's scum.
He is scum.
So why?
I hate this Ferris Bueller.
What's the guy's name? Get rid of all the charm of Matthew Broderick.
I want to shout out this guy's name here.
You think he's still alive?
He's gotta be.
Probably killed
I hope not.
After the show went off the air.
I hope not.
Ferris Bueller Charlie Schlatter. Schlatter.
All right. How do you spell that?
Known for Diagnosis Murder, Tom and Jerry.
Wait, wait. Is that a crime he committed or?
What yes.
Is, what is it? No, no. What, what's it? Charlie?
Charlie Schlatter. S C H L A T T E R.
All right. I'm going to see a picture of him now.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
One of, you know how IMDb does like the four things they're known for?
Yeah.
One of his top things is Tom and Jerry, the Magic Ring.
Now, the Magic Ring.
I'm going to describe what he looks like now. Mm. He looks like a middle-aged, like mid-40s. He looks like a mid-40s man trying to be a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that dude's not doing it for me. I don't like that hair. He really is. You might as well just put the backwards hat on and carry the skateboard around like Buscemi in that picture.
Some kids. Fellow kids.
Ooh, that is horrifying.
Oh, no.
That is not an attractive. He looks. He is like my look going on.
What's Matthew Broderick look like now?
Oh, he's a hottie.
No, he's not. No, he doesn't look well.
He doesn't?
I mean, he was always ugly, I think, but now it's becoming exposed. He looks worse in some pictures.
He still looks pretty good.
He was supposed to be Walter White. Did
you What's remember? Not to love about that?
Oh, God.
He's so pasty.
That mustache.
Wait, was he really?
Yeah, he's supposed Can to be. Go? Yeah, that was Vince Gilligan's first choice. And then he said no. And so Brian.
Matthew Broderick said no?
Yeah, Matthew Broderick said no.
Vince Gilligan, he did a good choice, though, with getting, what's his face? I can't remember.
No one tell him.
I just can't remember. My brain's not working. It's late. I've been working all day.
For who? Bryan Cranston?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I said don't tell him.
Oh, okay. All right. Give me, really quickly, give me your favorite. Rank these three Matthew Broderick, or four Matthew Broderick movies. Actually, right, you've
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Lion King, Election,
and
Godzilla.
Who is he in The Lion King?
He was Simba.
He was Simba.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't know this?
You didn't know what? Matthew Broderick was Simba?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's Simba. What were the other two?
You haven't seen Election, so that doesn't count.
No.
Oh,
Godzilla, 98.
Godzilla?
Godzilla, 98?
The remake?
Yeah, I know what Godzilla 98 is.
That was the one between the original and the good one.
I know what Godzilla 98 is.
Wait, but which one's the good one? The recent one?
Yeah.
You like that one?
A lot better.
Really?
I mean...
I thought you hated that.
No.
Oh, and Inspector Gadget. Throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't know. That should have been in there. Okay.
He was in The Cable Guy.
Okay.
Oh, I like The Cable Guy.
Let's do this. Ferris Bueller, Lion King.
Interesting.
Inspector Gadget. What were the other ones?
You haven't seen Election, so I won't make you right.
Election. Godzilla. I'll put it four. I'll put Election before. Without seeing it, I'll put it before Godzilla.
Okay. Get this, guys.
Is that the right order?
No. The Lion King, number one.
No, you're wrong.
Absolutely.
No. What fucking? No, you're wrong.
Absolutely.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
You're wrong.
Election at two.
Please, that's not even the best Disney movie.
It's one of them. I think it's my favorite. I don't think that's the one that I rewatched.
Toy Story
the most.
3.
Put it that way.
That's better.
I don't count it. Don't count
Aladdin, I think.
Aladdin.
What the fuck's the matter with you? Don't you look at me like that. I was literally the best Disney. Aladdin?
It's not.
You fucking jihadist.
What the hell's the Aladdin? I mean, Robin Williams is great in it, but like, it's a great performance in a mediocre movie. Like, oh, man.
This explains that picture of you on the moon.
Yeah, definitely does. That uncovered picture from the archives. No, you go Lion King, Election, Ferris Bueller, Inspector Gadget.
No one gets that.
They
no.
don't need to. That's the top four.
No one
and ever Godzilla
will.
At five. There you go.
You're wrong, though.
The great Matthew Broderick.
Where did American you place Ferris?
Ferris is at three.
That can't physically wrong. Be the case.
You guys got to watch Election.
Oh, Election is physically so impossible. If anything, Lion King is three then. If anything.
No way, dude.
He was not that important in The Lion King.
I'm not
King.
Counting his performance.
What the fuck's the point?
He's not that important the best in movie. The Lion King. He's Simba.
No, I'm not saying
I'm
best
saying movie. I could have gotten someone else to voice Simba.
I'm not saying, I'm saying his best movies. I'm ranking the movies themselves.
Ferris Bueller.
Still Ferris Bueller.
Lion King.
Election's so damn good.
Haven't seen Election, so it's hard for me to say, but Ferris Bueller's going to be
Election,
number one.
You'll love Election because, number one, it's political, and it's a lot of political satire. Yeah. And also...
I wanted to go see The Ides of March. Is that
good? Movie.
I
want to
see that.
Pretty good. Paul Giamatti and...
You know what I saw for the first time?
George Clooney.
The other day?
What?
Interstellar.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I liked it.
I know. I talked to you about it, and you were like, eh, no, 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 I loved that movie.
I'll tell you what, though. It's a guilty pleasure because everybody hates that movie.
And I heard that, and that's why I wasn't excited to watch it.
And I feel bad when I go like, yeah, it was all right.
No, I liked it better than Inception.
It's not better than Inception.
I liked it better than Inception.
That is blasphemous, but
no. I 100% liked it better than Inception.
It's a little too saccharine. It's a little too, like...
I don't even know what that means.
Schmaltz.
That's a pretentious douche
I
word.
Also don't know what that means.
Cheesy. It's fucking cheesy.
No.
It's a little, like, too sweet. Too, like, cute.
Oh, fuck you.
It's a little bit. Inception is a lot more...
Zach, do you like a movie that makes you feel? You'd fucking like Interstellar. Do you like sci-fi? You're cool
with
sci-fi, right?
Oh, you didn't see Interstellar?
Right? Or Interstellar.
I've never seen Interstellar.
You're cool with sci-fi, right? Dude, it's... I actually... legitimately think it's better than Inception.
It's definitely.
Inception. Crazy.
Here's the thing.
Inception, I just never got around to watching it.
Well, let me ask you this. You saw Inception.
You are. I've seen Inception.
Okay.
I love Inception.
Is it something that you would be like, oh, I want to watch that again and again?
Inception?
Yeah.
I've seen it 10 times.
This is insane.
And you enjoy it every time?
Really? Every single time.
Because I got sick of Inception right away.
This is insane. Love Inception.
Inception's a masterpiece.
Why?
Dude. Come on, dude.
It's not that good.
Leo is great.
Yeah, I know. Leo's a good performer.
McConaughey is doing a little too much McConaughey.
But see, that's why I also haven't seen Interstellar. I don't really like McConaughey.
Yeah. Dude, the plot is so good.
It's all right. It's not like Inception.
Inception's stupid to me. It's just jumping in dreams.
The craft that it takes to just like juggle all of the – like it's a hard fucking story, number one, to write and number two, to direct. Like, on two different levels. Like, he's juggling a million different plot points at the same time, and he's directing them, and he's putting them together in a way that sort of makes coherent sense. That's hard. That movie's complicated. Interstellar's not that complicated.
Interstellar's very complicated.
Oh, we're going in a wormhole, now we're going out. And, oh, Murph! Murph is so old! What, it's Murph, right?
Yeah, no. Interstellar is, like...
Murph.
Interstellar Murph handles, 90. Handles fucking... space and time travel. It handles.
I'll tell you what.
It's
complex. I will watch Interstellar next week.
Good.
And then tell you who's right.
It's not bad. I'm just saying, I liked Interstellar. I didn't hate it like everybody else hated it.
I really was impressed.
It's not Inception.
See, I was really impressed. I didn't expect it to be that good.
Can you see Steve Jobs next?
No.
Can you watch that, please?
I really don't care.
Because everybody hates it, and I want to be validated because I seem like I'm the
is
only
that the
one
with, like, Ashton
it.
Kutcher?
Is that the one with...
No, not that,
that
one.
Is that the one you went
with George, yeah. Nick Hill. Yeah, you went with Nick Hill. And I
that was a great night.
Yeah. No, the one with Fassbender. Michael Fassbender and Seth Rogen.
I don't think I care enough.
Seth Rogen's Wozniak. I just want to be validated because that was another movie that I saw that everybody seemed to hate, and I'm the only one that's like, oh, that was okay.
Okay, I know we're going on a lot of tangents here. We're not really going to talk about this show, apparently.
I mean, I have nothing else. What, do you have anything else to add?
I would have just talked about Sloane and her falling.
Oh, yeah, she falls a lot. That's her
wants to be a bad.
That's her motif.
It's stupid. Anyways, though.
Back to the interesting
both Seth Rogen and his buddy there, starts with a J.
Jonah Hill?
No, the other one. James Franco.
Oh, okay.
No. Those two. Both
sick of James.
Now, they both make a lot of stupid, dumb movies.
Yeah.
But they both make a lot of great fucking movies. You ever think about that?
What?
Like, on the side, they'll just, like, work on these really, like, serious, good movies.
Prove it.
Jonah Hill's a better example, where he's really...
much better example.
But...
All right, hold on.
They make all these dumb movies, but once in a while, they just pump out a good movie.
But, like what?
Or, like, a serious drama.
Okay.
Like, 128 Hours is what I think of. 27. Like, 127 hours, whatever. That's like a serious, like, actual, like...
But that's not Seth Rogen.
Well, I was saying both of them.
No, I hate James Franco more, actually.
What is
no,
wrong
with you? I don't like James Franco.
They did the
night... I don't like any Franco.
They fuck a Franco. They did The Night Before, which was shit.
Pineapple Express was pretty funny.
He was in...
Actually, no, Pineapple Express is funny. Not pretty funny. It's funny.
Homefront, that shitty movie with Jason Statham.
What?
You should know.
Oh, I've seen that.
Remember that one?
I've seen that.
Yeah, he plays a bad guy, and Jason Statham is like a dad in this.
Yeah.
Spring Breakers. Are you counting that?
Oh, terrible.
Are we counting that in his dramatic filmography? I still haven't seen it, but I've heard it's great. I've heard great things. He was in Date Night. Oh, yeah, great film. Milk, I guess, is the only all right drama. 127 Hours would probably be your best example. And then you got to go back and see, like, Spider-Man 3. Yeah.
I just like that they're not completely set in that, like, stupid, silly movie thing.
Comedies.
Yeah, yeah, they like to branch out a little bit. I just think
it's well, I don't think James Franco thinks he's a serious actor. And he's sort of been roped into this whole Seth Rogen bubble. Because I don't think Seth Rogen, or that James Franco considers himself a comedic actor. And I think Seth Rogen does. So I forgive it a lot more in Seth Rogen because he's just, he knows he's good at comedy, so he does comedy. James Franco just says, I'm good at acting so I can do both comedy and drama.
I don't think he's that bad of an actor. He's really not.
I never bought into any of it.
When we get to the Room movie, the movie about the making of the Room, and he plays Tommy Wiseau, that'll be the judge. That'll be
deal.
The
deal.
Yes. Deal. Sausage Party's coming out this
year. Oh, I'm excited for Sausage Party.
I actually like some of the – like I like Neighbors. I think
I haven't seen Neighbors.
I think Neighbors is really solid. I didn't like The Interview.
I thought it was a terrible movie.
I like what else? Oh, he had a cameo in 22 Jump Street, I guess. This Is the End. I really like This Is the End.
That's a great movie.
I really like that movie.
I like when people aren't afraid to try things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I respect that. I don't like – my biggest – see, you and I disagree here, but my – probably. But my biggest thing is there's too many just – more of the same, just fucking like.
We have no disagreements there.
No.
We got all that Oscar shit. That's not more of the same, though.
It is, though.
It ain't, though. Fucking Marvel is more of the same. Disney is more of the same.
See,
churning out all the superhero movie blockbusters. Fast and Furious, that's more of the same.
I'm more talking about taking risks, not fucking great directors making great movies, because I'm sick of that, too.
Boyhood doesn't take risks.
That was a good one.
Filmed it over 11 years.
That was a good one.
That's an Oscar bait movie. Birdman's not taking risks. That won Best Picture. Fucking Birdman doesn't take risks. It's a single take.
No, it's a good.
It's hallucinogenic.
It's not a single take.
Well, it's an illusion of a single. Yeah, but no, that's a bananas fucking movie.
That was a great
movie. That's Oscar bait.
Now, if they didn't do the single take thing, would it still have been that good, though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it certainly.
Or was that kind of a gimmick?
Oh, what's for sure a gimmick.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
It's a gimmick, but
Michael Keaton's performance on its own was...
Yeah, he did very good.
He was very good. Like, Ed Norton's great in that movie.
Oh, I love Ed Everyone's Norton. Great in that movie. I love Ed Norton. Yeah. I love Ed Norton.
No, that's...
I'm going to say it a fourth time. I love Ed Norton.
Hey, Nick, how do you feel about Ed Norton?
Ed Norton, he's great. I love him.
That's his boy.
Yeah, he's my boy.
He's rubbed one out to Ed Norton.
A couple times.
Yeah, sure.
If you took all of the people that I liked and they all made a movie together, it would be a really shitty movie because they're all very different. but I want to see it happen anyways.
Who's your cast?
Oh, well, okay, I don't know. We're going to have Joss Whedon write it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
I like where this is going. We're
going to have Ed Norton starring.
Is JJ directing?
Oh, absolutely. JJ's directing. Who else is going to direct?
Good point.
JJ would be the only one who could make anything of it.
You might be right. You might be right. All right, we need a lead actress now. Who's my favorite actress?
Your favorite actress.
Oh, this is a tough one. See, my problem is I need a list out there. I need to start making lists of things I like so that when we have these conversations, I can be like, boom.
You understand. You know what you like. You got to remember
what I know what like. I like, but I can never remember.
Sure. Well, you don't know names is your problem.
You got to give me choices.
You don't remember names.
Well, I couldn't tell you, like, my favorite actor or actress. No, that's a lie. I can tell you my favorite actor. I can't tell you my favorite actress.
Well, I think that's just sexism because I couldn't tell you my favorite actress either. Actually, no, maybe Jennifer Lawrence is my favorite. Yeah,
she's up there. I'm almost leaning.
She's my fave.
Let's put Lena Headey in there. Fuck it.
Ooh, exciting. Game of Thrones.
She
was in that movie Dread.
The 300 sequel starring the girl.
Didn't see it.
Okay.
I haven't actually seen any 300.
They're not good.
Yeah, no, they're not good. Maybe you'll hate Zack Snyder after that.
Maybe I do hate Zack Snyder.
No, I still like Zack Snyder.
Fuck you.
Actual worst.
The actual worst.
I like Zack Snyder.
Absolutely the worst. No, I like when people take risks, and I think that these guys do take risks. No, I'd much rather see like a unique bad movie than a just.
I think here's the real thing that you and I, and I think I've just found what you and I really disagree on, what the difference is. At the end of the day, like we can. Why? Okay, at the end of the night, while
the sun goes down.
Well, you and I can agree on a lot of things, but the main thing that we disagree on is that I appreciate the fact that someone took a risk more than I appreciate the quality of it, whereas you appreciate the quality a little bit more.
See, I get accused a lot of the time of rewarding things that simply take risks. As a matter of fact, that was a lot of the criticisms of Interstellar. Is that it just tried too many things and couldn't really rope them into like a coherent
story. That's why I loved it, though. It was cool.
I appreciated it, too. I said, you know what? I respect...
No, I'm not saying that you don't appreciate risk. Yeah. I'm saying when you're prioritizing...
Well, quality does matter. Yeah, quality matters.
When you're prioritizing, your quality goes over risk. For me, it's the opposite.
Sure. I think... And I think that is also the symptom of seeing a lot of movies, too. Like, if you're watching, like, 3-4 movies a week that I do sometimes, it's like, I would much rather... Like, different means a lot more to me. And they're like, I just want to see something different than what I've been seeing already.
Now,
like,
Zach, what do you think, Zach? Do you think risk matters more, or do you think the quality is going to matter more?
You're talking to the guy whose favorite movie is, like, shit movies.
That's okay, what do you think?
He likes different, right?
I don't know. I mean, or is it something completely different? Is there another factor here?
For me, the reason why I like a movie is because from the first frame to the last frame, it keeps me up. It keeps me wanting to watch the movie. It doesn't matter whether or not it's a good movie. Like,
I'm trying to think of a word.
Nico, one of your favorite movies is Whiplash.
Yes.
Okay, I've told you time and time again. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. I don't think it's all that great. It's an okay movie.
That's a movie with fucking risks. That one is a compelling, and that is a taut fucking every but, second of that movie. And that's like that one, that's got pace. That one moves. That one is not like slow and plodding.
I thought it was slow. It was dull.
He's fucking slapping him in the face. He's throwing drums at his face and chairs.
But when he's doing that the entire movie,
it's only an hour and a half too. It's a good one.
But so anyway, you like that movie. But I don't think it's all that great. You just made fun of Homefront.
In fairness, I've never seen Homefront.
I watched Homefront, and I thoroughly liked Homefront. Because from the first frame to the last frame, I wanted to keep watching it.
I think
so. For me, it doesn't matter whether or not they take risks. Even if it's good, if it keeps me up and I want to keep watching it, I will think it's a good movie. That's why I like Zack Snyder.
Always.
Because the movies I've seen of Zack Snyder, I've wanted to keep watching.
Yeah, they're visually and not just visually, but they're definitely visually interesting.
Yeah.
They're moving quick.
I'll wait for a payoff. Like, I'll be patient and I'll be just like, if you know, it takes a half hour to build it and then we finally go somewhere. It's the reason that I love Breaking Bad so much.
I feel like the first time you watched The Sixth Sense, you were just like, holy shit.
Sure. Well, I knew where it was going because I knew the spoiler.
But that ruined it for you.
Of course it did. If you look at, like, Breaking Bad, the first season of that show was a little rough to get through. And I don't admit saying that now. And I watch it and I think it's incredible now.
Well, when I told you that I was watching it and you asked me how it was, I'm like, it's slow. And the first thing you said was, trust me, season two, it gets really good.
You got to wait for the payoff. And a lot of times the best movies, the best TV shows.
But that's one of the times I've only ever done it.
Sure.
Because it needs to be good to me right from the start.
Yes.
That's why I can't watch Game of Thrones.
I've said that about certain things where I'm just like, I think Game of Thrones is great from the get-go.
It definitely is. Definitely.
But
from the episode that I've seen.
Actually, the pilot's not great, I'll be honest with you.
What do you mean? A fucking child gets pushed out of the tower.
It's not. It's a little stiff. It's a little just sort of dry.
About Jamie?
Sure. Yes, Jamie.
he's that fucking sister.
Yeah, he's got a hard on.
Stiff boner.
Stiff, yeah.
Pushed a baby out of the tower.
I'm not a baby. A young man.
It was a young man.
A boy.
Let's settle in the middle.
I think that is, unfortunately, though, the problem with modern movie making is that, and in an era, too, where our attention spans are really short and it's all 6-second vines, 15-second Instagram videos.
I hate that about our generation.
140 characters. It's we need the satisfaction now. And if you don't give it to me within the first 2 minutes of your thing, I'm out.
But no, that's not it. For me, it's – I'm paying – most of the time, not paying money, but I'm paying money to see something. I'm purposefully taking that long of a time out of my day. You need to make it worthwhile from the beginning.
I think you got to trust it. Just trust it. And we don't trust our directors anymore. Like, we don't trust, like, fucking Edgar Wright wanted to do Ant-Man, and he had a vision for Ant-Man. He was the guy that did At World's End and Pineapple Express and those movies. And he's a really stylish... Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. You'd love that movie.
I still have yours. Marvel and Disney, they're not taking risks.
No. Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he was in development for that movie. He was behind the... He wrote the whole script. It was his baby for a bunch of years. And, like, 2 weeks before filming was about to start, he dropped out because Marvel kept just shoving down his throat all like these little tweaks. You got to connect it to the MCU. You got to set up for the next five movies. You got to make it this, that, that. And he couldn't take any risks anymore. And it's like, we don't trust our great directors to make
the
great
producers
movies.
You're saying
the producers and the audiences in some ways. I mean, Captain America, people really liked it and I thought it was all right, but
Civil War,
it took no risks. And it seems like the audience is so pleased with just the same old story.
Yeah, exactly what they expect.
Yeah. You're not going to be surprised by anything in Civil War. It's intellectual. It's got a decent script. The action sequences are okay. But it's like, we don't trust – like, there's a certain number of guys, and I'm sure there's many more that are being ignored, that can make a movie that will blow your fucking mind and give you something you've never seen before. But that sort of involves you trusting them and giving them big budgets to do what they want to do and letting them make movies on these weird outside-the-box scripts. And that number keeps dwindling. It's like you don't really have a chance anymore. Everybody is just shoved into that corporate system in movie making now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's my rant about that. Edgar Wright should have made it.
The problem is it's not like an individual venture anymore where, like, you know – movies were just tons of people doing completely different things. Now you're right. It's become very bureaucratic.
Yeah, and it's less a director's medium too. The director has less and less control now than they ever
had. Well, and that's why TV shows are getting big.
Absolutely.
Because the writers. Right. A lot of directors are switching over to being writers. They don't care.
And also a lot of directors are doing single seasons of shows now. They're saying, rather than doing a movie, I'm just going to do 13 episodes of a Netflix show. And they'll just direct that. Like the guy that did True Detective, who's a really good filmmaker, did a lot of great movies, did True Detective season one, and it was fantastic. And a lot of these guys are starting to move over now. But yeah, it's the thing about TV shows is that these writers, they have a singular voice. And they, like, because that's the best place to go. There's so many opportunities now for making TV. It's like they can now tell the story they want to tell, and no one's going to bother them anymore. And in movies, you have less of that. It used to be, you know, a Quentin Tarantino could pop up out of nowhere and become like this force. And like the 90s, there were a lot of guys like that. And now it's just, you know, pluck your 20-something-year-old that loved reading comic books growing up, and we're going to plug him into our corporate venture in which one trademark punches another trademark. I think the cricket's telling us to leave. But yeah, it's becoming less and less. It's just, yeah, there's less and less risk. Absolutely. Less and less risk.
And that was Ferris Bueller.
John Hughes, a great director from the 80s. Give him more shit to do if he's still alive. I think he's still alive.
You're not even sure.
Yeah, he did some great 80s movies. Faux show.
No, you're right.
Don't say faux show.
The Bomb? I will faux show, Faith. Say faux show.
The Bomb? Is that one you like, Zach?
The Bomb?
Yeah.
That phrase is lit, right?
I'll take the bomb.
That is lit. So lit. Lit. That phrase.
That's a band.
Is lit. Yeah, it is lit. All right. That's it. Happy 30th anniversary to one of our favorite movies of all time that we didn't talk about at all.
You know, this podcast was still better.
John Hughes is dead.
Oh.
Oh, he is?
Rest in peace. He died in 2009, 59 years old.
This podcast is still better than that episode.
Yo.
Both those episodes.
Get this IMDb page on John Hughes. He did 8 movies.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but he made like the
16 Candles.
Yeah.
The Breakfast Club. Weird Science. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Like, those are the movies that he made in the 80s. Oh, he also did She's Having a Baby.
I was going to make a recommendation, but I'll wait until we're done.
Uncle Buck. Curly Sue. I've never heard of the Curly Sue.
I was going to make a recommendation, but I was.
So two of – you said 8?
Yeah, I did 8.
Those yeah, two eight. Of 8 of his movies.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of. The other 6?
The rest are iconic 80s comedies.
Great movie, yeah.
Yeah. That dude had a run.
Yeah.
That dude just defined really a generation. Well. Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
I'll wait till we're done.
Oh, okay.
I think we're done.
All right.
Aren't we? Happy 30th anniversary. We'll be back next week talking Horace and Pete.
Probably.
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 Stick to what we're good at.
Not getting off subject talking about albums.
We need weeks like this once in a while.
Absolutely.
No, we do.
This was a fun one, actually.
Because if we keep doing Horace and Pete over and over again, we're going to get burned out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We need weeks to just not care.
I really enjoyed the randomness of this one.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I absolutely did.
It's good. Right. Good conversation.
Yeah.
This is the only time we get to catch up every week, you know?
Yeah. You're just the listener of this show sees our friendship. This is just the arc of our friendship on this show.
Pretty much.
No, this is our friendship.
Yeah, that's about it. That's the only thing. We would never talk to each other without this stupid thing.
We should call it a show ship.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Showmance is what
Friendcast.
They call it. Yeah, showmance. Showmance. It's Big Brother. Showmance.
Friendcast?
Friendcast? I don't like that.
A podship?
Podship, I like.
Fluids.
Alright, that's our out. You all been naughty. What's your recommendation?
No. I'm serious. Like, when we're done.
Oh, and you're not going to tell me.
Yeah.
You're not going to say to the listener.
Yeah, no. They can't.
Naughty. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.